Okay, good afternoon, everyone. The council is here. We are here this afternoon to interview four candidates to the Ridgefield City Council, position number 7. Mr. Stewart.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, members of the council, finalists and community members that are listening into this. This evening at 4:30 p.m. right now, we are starting our city council appointment interview process. As you are well aware, and finalists are aware as well, we have two vacancies on the Ridgefield City Council at this time, positions 7 and 2. We opened up applications for potential city council appointees. And through that process, we received 10 qualified applicants to the position. At that point, council received the application packages for all 10 applicants, rated those applicants on 5 different factors, and then those ratings were then compiled by staff to create a list of finalists. Those finalists are here before you this evening. Those ratings are not determinative of your final choice. They are simply to determine the four that you will interview this afternoon and this evening. The people who are interviewing this evening are eligible and are applying for both positions 7 and 2. However, this evening we are only appointing one position. We are asking council to appoint position 7. Position 7 was the first position that was vacated, and the state law indicates that we must fill that position by the beginning of August. So that is the position that you will be determining this evening. These same four applicants, though, are also being considered for position number 2. Once you decide this evening on position number 7, whoever it is that you appoint will then be sworn in at our next council meeting, which is 2 weeks from this evening. At that council meeting, the first item of business will be to swear in that new council member. Once that new member is sworn in, the next item of business will be to deliberate and act upon position number 2. So the remaining 3 applicants will be considered for that position. Whoever you choose this evening for position number 7 will be given all of the application materials from the other 3 finalists, as well as audio recordings of the interviews that you're doing this afternoon. For today, the process that we will be following is at 4:40, and we're at 4:32 p.m. At 4:40 p.m., we will begin the interviews. The interview order was chosen randomly 5 minutes before the meeting started. We drew names out of a box. So those names were chosen, and the interview order, first on the list will be Judy Chipman. Second on the interview list will be Bambi, and forgive me, Bambi Hype. Third will be Clyde Burkle, and fourth will be Rachel Coker. That order will be 20-minute interviews for each applicant. What we are asking council is that each one of the council members presents one question to each of the applicants, that the mayor will direct traffic on this, go through the list, and go through the council members and ask each council member to ask that question of the applicant. We have 20 minutes total for each of the interviews. We have a timer, and the deputy city manager, Lena Nieris, has a 5-minute sign and a 1-minute sign. So she will be flashing that sign when we get to the 5-minute and 1-minute time frame so that you, mayor, know where we are in time frame and so that the applicants know as well. If we happen to go over that 20-minute time frame, not a problem. This is your process, council. We want to make sure that you all have a chance to ask the questions that you want to know of each one of these applicants. So we want to make sure that each one of you does get a chance to ask your question. We do ask that it is a single question without follow-up and without multiple parts, just to kind of keep it moving along. I know. I see you, Councilor Onslow. I know. Just so you're not riffing up there. So we're asking that you do that so that we can stay close to the 20-minute time frame for each one of the council applicants. When we are done with that process of interviewing, we'll go through the next steps, which will be going into executive session for a discussion of qualifications. I will go through what does that mean before we exit into executive session. At that point, the interviews are over. At 6:30 p.m., we are looking to be back and into open session, begin the regular council meeting, and then one of the first items of business will be deliberation and action for council position number 7. I think I've gone through all of the detail that I wanted to go through. We have about 5 minutes if there are any questions, Mayor, that you or the council have about the process.
Okay. Questions?
I have a question, and that is if some of these questions require a follow-up, are you saying we should not ask it unless the time frame allows?
Okay, sorry. You heard me, right?
I did. So the question, just in case people were listening in, was what if a question that a council member asks kind of requires a follow-up, or, you know, it naturally leads into a follow-up? What we are asking is try to keep it as limited as we have. We have mayor and 4 council members. We have 20 minutes. That's 4 minutes per. So the shorter the question, the more time we have for the answer. So if there is something where we do have time, and it is something that you absolutely feel is like, yes, we need to have follow-up. Again, this is your process. We're simply trying to keep it as tight as possible to make sure that everybody has an equal opportunity to answer questions and an equal amount of time to be able to talk through why they think they are best suited to be on council with you.
Okay, and just a follow-up question.
Of course.
We will interview the 4 at, that's the way I see it. And then we would go into executive session, correct?
That's correct.
Thank you.
Any other questions that you might have for myself or for other staff?
Yes. Nope, we're good.
Okay. So we have approximately 4 minutes before the first interview occurs. Judy Chipman is the first interviewee, so we would ask that the other 3 finalists please exit to the lobby of the RAC so that we can come get you when we're ready for that. And thank you very much.
Where would you like me?
For all the applicants at the podium, please. So right behind you.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Yes, we do. Okay, all right, we're ready to go. Judy, yeah.
All right.
So, welcome.
Thank you.
Councilor Onslow, we'll start with you. Yes, yes, thank you very much. The first applicant we have this evening is Commissioner Judy Chipman.
Hi, Ms. Chipman. One of the things you said in your resume is that you wanted to help shape the future of this town. My question basically is, in my thought process that I have, when a problem arises or comes to light, what's your process to solve that problem?
To solve that problem. So a problem as far as a problem with citizens, a problem about land, or just any type of a problem that comes up, is that what you're referring to?
Mm-hmm.
So, wow, that's a pretty broad question. So I would assume that problem would come to the city council. I assume that that's what you're talking about. Something came to the city council. So I think, what I stated in my resume was that I think people want to be heard. I don't know that every problem is solvable in the way that people want it to be solved. I think you need to have a place where people can come to be heard, to express their feelings about a problem. I think if people are heard and the problem is discussed, it isn't possible to necessarily solve everyone's problem in the way in which they want it to be solved. But if they feel they've been heard, at least then they have a feeling of feeling valued, at least that they've been heard with their problem. I think it might be possible to have some type of a forum where we would listen to issues like that. I don't know if you already have that or not, but where people could come with issues. I know that some people come to the city council with issues that they have, and I'm not sure that might be the most complete place where they could actually go through every part of their issue, and you would want that to be the place where you would take the time to go through each one. I've sat in meetings where people have come with different issues that I thought probably that was not the appropriate place for them to really talk about in the detail, which they did. Some issue that they had. But maybe we could set up some type of a forum where people could come with issues. I'm not sure. I hadn't really thought that through, but.
Okay, thank you.
Councilor Wilk, Mayor Pro Tem Wells.
Yes. Good evening, Judy.
Hi, Lee.
Also, in your resume, you said you have been a long-term resident of the city of Ridgefield, not city, in the Ridgefield area.
Right.
I had two parts to that. How long were you part of the community? And then I'll ask my real question.
So I was born and raised in Ridgefield. Our farm was over next to Jones Farm. So it was Richards Bean Farm, and actually you and I were in 4-H Club together, I believe. I remember going to 4-H Club at your house with Ernie and Darlene Foster and whatever. And my sister Margie was in your class at Ridgeville. So we left when I was in the 8th grade and went to Le Center High School because Margie was dating Don Avery and she wanted to go there to high school. And so we left and went to high school at Le Center. And then when I married, we moved to, my husband and I moved to Vancouver, and then we just came back 9 years ago. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Did that take up my whole time?
No.
No, okay. No, I didn't know he was at my house. I know I went to school with your sister, but that was it. Okay, in your eyes, what do you feel is the biggest challenge that faces the community today?
Schools. I think the schools are absolutely the biggest challenge that we have right now. I think finding room for all the kids that are coming in the new housing that is coming in is really going to be the biggest challenge that we have. I was going through, sitting on the Planning Commission, I was going through all the billing that's coming in and looking at all of the units that are coming in, the apartment units, the housing units, and looking at how many kids might be involved in that many housing units, and looking at the room that's going to be in the schools that we have right now. And knowing that a lot of the new families that come in aren't necessarily going to vote for these, ballot measures that are coming in to pay for these schools. I think that the state has done a disservice by the way that they're set up the funding for the schools, and I think that it's going to be really hard to get people to agree, you know, to these tax increases. And so in my mind, that's one of the biggest issues that we face.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Councilor Akeley.
Hello, Ms. Judy Chipman.
Hello.
If selected to serve on council, which two community organizations interest you the most that you would like to join or participate in or get active with?
So I had a conversation at the Main Street Breakfast, I guess it was last week or the week before, with Maureen about working, kind of helping with the arts. I told her I'd be, you know, happy to help with the arts, get involved with that. I don't think that's a very big part of what goes on, but I told her I'd certainly be happy to be willing to help with that. I certainly have a love for libraries. I've been part of some fundraising here for the library, you know, and we've donated some funds to it. I've been very active with helping with the library funding through Columbia Credit Union. They've been a very big part of the fundraising for Fort Vancouver libraries overall, not necessarily for this one, but that's how we helped fund this one, of course. So the libraries are of great interest to me. I'm very interested also in the business and the commerce side. Columbia River Economic Development Council is something that I love, and the commerce and whatever. So I think whatever I was assigned to, I would probably be very willing to work with. So,
great. All right. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. Councilor Lindsay.
Microphone, sorry. Thanks for being here tonight with us. One of the challenges of being an elected official is effectively representing the variety of people that make up your constituency. Based on the most recent U.S. Census data from 2019, so I'm going to give you a few stats, so ask me if you want me to review them. Our median age of our residents is 35 years old. About a third of our population is under 17 years old. 42% of our population is between the age of 25 and 54. And additionally, in the last 5 years, our population has nearly doubled, which means that about half of our residents have lived here for 5 years or less. Okay? So based on the recent data of Ridgefield's population, how would you connect with and represent all the various demographics that make up our community?
Wow. Great question.
Thank you.
Well, I think I have all of those demographics in my own personal family. I guess I could start with that. So our grandchildren are from ages 20 up to 30. And I think, as I said in my resume, I know a couple of them would love to move out here. So and we interact with them a lot. So I kind of know what goes through their mind as far as looking at, you know, for housing, looking for schooling for their kids, you know, thinking about what they're looking for as they raise a family. Our children, our daughters, I know what they're looking for, kind of what they're interested in. The street that we live on involves several generations of people, mostly younger people. Herm and I are definitely the elderly people on our street, but it's mostly young families, and we interact with them quite a bit. They call him the grandpa of 14th Circle, so they even made him a shirt saying that, and, you know, all kinds of stuff. So, and then, of course, you know, there's a lot of people moving in, probably not evidently as many as I think our age, but I know there's a lot of people that come in also that are also retirees. And so I think that I think I would be in tune with some of that. I might not, I might have to create ways to interact with some of them. I know that my niece, one of our nieces, works at the school with some of the teenagers in one of the groups that helps kids learning about setting up their own businesses or something. I forgot the name of it. But anyway, she asked me if I'd be willing to kind of join in that, and I told her I would love to do that. So I think there's different ways that I could become more involved with some of the other ages that I haven't yet. But I think I'm surrounded by all of those generations of people that I can probably, and certainly in my job that I had all types of and all ages of people that worked with me.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Well, I'm last.
Okay.
And this actually, this question came from one of our citizens. Being a Ridgefield City Council member will require the member to spend more than 2 hours every other week. How much time do you expect to spend weekly preparing and executing your responsibilities as a council member?
How much time do I expect to prepare weekly?
Yes, to prepare weekly for the every other week council meeting.
So I'm not sure how much data I would receive and how much I would need to do, frankly. I don't know what that would take, but I know on the credit union board that there was, you know, a couple hours weekly that it took to prepare for everything that we did during the month, and I would expect that that would happen here, whatever it would take. And I know there's other meetings that I would need to attend that certainly would take time. So I would say, I mean, it said like 18 to 24 hours a month. I think that would be, you know, whatever, 6 hours a week. I would expect to spend 4 to 6 hours, I guess, a week. I don't think that would be too much to expect of someone. So
great.
I would say 4 to 6 hours.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Okay.
So, Council, you were incredibly effective and efficient with your time, which means that we have approximately 9 minutes before the next applicant is slated, which means that if you do have additional information that you would like to request, again, this is your process. So, Mayor, if you would like to open it up for additional question, you have that latitude.
Okay, great.
She liked my first question so much.
Yeah.
And again, not to put you all on the spot, you were asked to prepare one question
right.
For the applicants, and appreciate that.
I got one.
Right.
I got a simple one. Are you familiar with the 219th exchange extension and the challenges it possesses?
I studied it, I've looked at it. It does definitely, there's definitely some challenges there. Whether to go through, I mean, as we looked at it, and I both sat there and looked at it, and it's just like, wow, any way that we go is a real challenge, right?
Right.
I mean, it's just like, I am late. I just don't know what the answer would be, what the right answer would be. And I mean, to me, it seems like it would make perfectly good sense that we would connect in with that battleground, you know, where we come in from the other side of battleground, right? But then you're coming right down over the hill through those very expensive homes and all that expensive property, right? Unless you can come around and that doesn't, there's some real challenges there. I don't know what the answer would be.
I didn't expect for an answer, but I know that it sounds like you're a little bit familiar with the challenges in front of us.
Yes, yeah. It looks to me like it's going to be.
Thank you.
Yeah. And I see a couple of homes being built up in that area. And I'm sure we wouldn't go through that, you know, those expensive homes, but I mean, it's like, wow, the longer that it goes on, the more there is to go through, right?
Yeah.
Wherever it goes.
For sure.
Yeah.
What do you think the Planning Commission has helped you towards a position on the City Council?
So I think the Planning Commission, the help that comes from the Planning Commission is as you study the documents and you go through all of it and you see all of the future of what's coming and what's already here, it just gives you a broad view of how it's growing and what's happening and then the challenges of the people that are already here. And the plans, you know, for the future of what's going to happen in the community, and I think it brings to mind and it shows you some of the frustrations of some of the people that have been here and they have their property and maybe they aren't able to do with it what they want to do because of some of the things that are going on, and then it shows you that somebody new is coming in and they want to do this or that, so. One night we were going through some of the Planning Commission and some of the requests that had come in, and I was just looking at it from my viewpoint, and I was going through and saying, well, why can't we allow this person to do this? And it was something to do with the property on the other side of the freeway where that bird's, where the property was for the, where the yard place used to be,
right.
If you know what I mean.
Yep.
So then Rob and I were talking about it later in the week when we were out in the street, when I walked by his house or something, not we were talking. And so then he explained the other side. I said, well, I don't know, why don't we just let the guy do that? That makes sense to me. And then Rob was explaining the other side of it to me, that he, you know, whatever it was, he wanted to buy it to just sell. And I thought, okay, so you have to know both sides, right? You have to know the owner side and the developer side or whatever. And so I think sometimes we sit there and we know one side of it. We know the side that's brought to us. And if we don't know the other side, on the, you know, when we sit on the planning commission, sometimes it's a little bit hard to know both sides, I guess is what I want to say. But it does give us a real view of what's happening and what's going to happen in the future, Ron. I mean, you know, I think it's been very beneficial that way. Only from that side of it. It doesn't show us all the other things that go on in the city.
Judy, just real quickly, what made you want to join the Planning Commission?
I think it was a starting point to get to know, you know, what was going on here, you know, just not a huge commitment, just a few hours a month, but just enough to be able to get to know what was going on. And you know, I had just retired. I had a really busy job at Bonneville, and I had just retired, and I had time, and I was like, you know, I really, you know, need something to do, and it's just an opportunity to be able to start to get involved. Yeah. Thanks. It's been a really good thing to be involved with.
Good.
Yeah.
No, I'm done. No, I'm good.
I'm open to whatever you want to ask.
So you mentioned in your application that growth is a big challenge, and that you mentioned the schools. Can you think of any other issues that the city is facing right now that are challenges that come to your mind, and why they are they're relevant?
I guess my second thing would be the roads. My second thing would be the roads, and I haven't really spent a lot of time looking to see what the road, what the future plan is for roads. So I just swear when I drive up Royal and go, damn these bugs.
What do you mean?
Or a couple others, but you know, I keep thinking, I know this is gonna change someday, that's gonna be fixed, but yeah. But I think the roads are definitely a challenge. And they're getting fixed piece by piece, but you know. So I think the roads and the schools to me, I might find out that there's something bigger out there, but right now, to me, in my mind, that's two of the biggest things.
Great, all right. Sounds good. We're done.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you, Judy.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank
you. Council, Ms. Ferris is going to get the next applicant, so we have just a couple minutes. We have 3 minutes before that begins.
Okay, great.
Thank you.
Mayor, it's 5 p.m. We're ready for the next applicant.
Okay, great. Council, this evening we have Bambi Hip with us this evening as a candidate for City Council position number 7. Councillor Lindsay, we'll start with you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Bambi, thank you for being here with us tonight. I really appreciate you taking the time. One of the challenges of being an elected official is effectively representing the variety of people that make up your constituency. Based on the most recent U.S. Census data from 2019, I'm going to give you some facts and figures, so if you want me to repeat any of them. Yep, so just let me know if you want me to repeat them. The median age of our residents is 35 years old. About a third of our population is under the age of 17. 42% of our population is between 25 and 54 years old. And in the last 5 years, our population has nearly doubled, which means that about 50% of our residents have lived here for 5 years or less. Based on the recent data of Ridgeville's population, how would you connect with and represent all of the various demographics that make up our community?
Well, I'd have to say that I think probably one of my best qualities is the fact that I am open-minded, and I respect diversity and inclusion. So I think as a human being, and definitely as a counselor, citizen, I think that where we make our biggest growth is when you sit down with somebody that is maybe not like you, doesn't think like you, is younger, older, different color, whatever. And you have an engaging conversation with them about, okay, what do you think? What do you believe? Because I think that the growth of an individual comes when you experience, whether it's in person or in talking to somebody, somebody else's life. So everybody is on their own journey, but to build a community, you need to have diversity and inclusion. And I don't know that you're going to understand that by sitting behind a computer screen and researching, you know, something. I think you really have to sit down with people, and by having an open mind and a closed mouth and an open ears, I think that that's when you do your most learning, your most growth as a person.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Councilor Akeley.
Good evening, Bambi. Thank you for applying. I know it's a lot of work.
Thank you.
If selected to be on City Council, which two community organizations interest you most to get active with and participate?
That's a good question. You know, I have a lot of respect for development. You know, if your city isn't moving forward, isn't progressing, isn't bringing in new blood, then I think the city dies. So that's a huge interest to me, is how the city is developing, whether that be the businesses that are coming in or subdivisions or what have you. I think that up to this point, the council has done a fantastic job in going out and making the relationships with the businesses, the organizations, whatever, build those relationships, so then we get places like Rosar's, we get higher end businesses coming in, and that creates people wanting to come here. I mean, we're the largest growing city in Washington, and it doesn't surprise me, because the way that this city is designed and people that it brings in, I think that this city is definitely going in the right direction. The other thing, real quick, that I also use a lot and I would be interested in is the parks and the trail system. I think that this city has an abundant amount of space to go out and enjoy your family and walk your dogs. And I think that's a huge advantage to bringing people in. So I think probably those things. it's obvious that law enforcement is very high on my list of priorities, both from my what I did for a living, and then obviously, you know, with being married to Kathy. But I also think that it's not the number one priority. There's other things that need to be taken into account as well.
Thank you very much.
Great, great.
Mayor Pro Tem Wells.
In your eyes, what do you feel is the biggest challenge?
Excuse me.
There you go.
I'll start over.
Okay.
Yeah. In your eyes, what do you feel is the biggest challenge that faces the community today?
I think the biggest challenge that Richfield has right now, because they're growing so rapidly, is that you have two sets of citizens. You have the citizens that are welcoming growth, citizens that are happy that we're getting the YMCA and there's a Taco Bell. But you also have the citizens that are like, that's enough, you know? Richfield's big enough. I see it on Next Door Neighbor. If they want to, you know, close off the boundaries of Richfield, don't let anybody else in, because we want to keep it, you know, that small town feel. And I think you could do both. I think you can continue to have the events and the small town, the small townness of it, the Mayberry type feel or whatever. I hear a lot of people use that as an analogy. But you also can welcome the bigger businesses, the bigger growth, the more. I think everybody should be invited to the party.
Great. Great. Okay. Councilor Onslow.
Hi. Welcome. Hello. Glad you're here. On your resume, you said you wanted to be a good ambassador for the city of Richfield. I think most of us know what our issues are, but I would like to pick your brain a little bit. And should a problem or an issue come to light, what is your thought process or what is your mental process to solve or approach that problem? How do you get there?
I don't think that there's any one right answer for that, because every problem that you deal with has people behind it. And every person is individual, and they think differently, and they act differently, and whatever. So my answer to that would be, I have a number of hours in training in how to deal with people of all emotional levels, every nationality, what have you. And I think from drawing from that training, I think, and of course in 17 years of police work, I've come into contact with a number of individuals as well, both happy to see me and not so happy that I'm there. And I think one of the qualities that I have is I'm a pretty good communicator. So I can sit down with somebody and have that hard conversation. And I believe that we both move on from that feeling like we actually got something out of that. As a council member, you have to, like I said before, you have to be able to have open ears and listen to what the community has to say, because you're essentially, you know, working for them.
Thank you. Right. Great. And I'm the last, Bambi, and thank you so much for coming. I have a question that actually came from one of our citizens. Being a Richfield City Council member will require the member to spend more than 2 hours every other week. How much time do you expect to spend weekly preparing and executing your responsibilities as a council member?
Well, I have never been a council member. So to answer that is a little bit difficult for me, because I don't know. There's going to be, if I get chosen, there's going to be a huge learning curve for me. I'm retired, and I live in the community right up the street. So other than, you know, the few, I help my elderly parents out quite a bit. So other than assisting them with something or what have you, I'm pretty, my time is pretty open, you know. It's my own to spend however I want to or need to. Taking on this position, I know that it's going to be time, especially in the beginning, it's going to be very time consuming because I'm going to have to learn all the stuff that you guys already know. But I don't have a problem if I take on a task. I think I'm pretty good at then completing that task and doing it well. I guess to answer your question, I would spend as much time as I absolutely need to get up to speed to speak about whatever the issue is or what have you.
Cool. All right. Thank you.
Mayor, Council, once again, we're at 10 minutes into the interview. You have another 10 minutes to be able to spend with this applicant. And so, as we did on the first, it was about the same timing for the first finalist interview. So if you would like to go through and ask an additional question, we do have time for
that.
Okay,
great. Go ahead. Sure. Yeah, go ahead. So Bambi, what do you think our biggest issue is in the city of Ridgefield right now? The biggest issue that you can think of?
Growth.
Growth?
I think growth comes with, it's kind of a double-edged sword. I mean, you have to have it, you need it to keep your city vibrant and alive. But like I said before, there's people that are definitely against it. I see the back and forth on next door neighbor all the time about that. And I think the council, as a council member, you have to find kind of a happy medium between those two camps. And at some point, you know, you want to maybe have a marriage of everybody's content with the growth and the livability and that, but you're always going to have a few people that are not going to be happy with what you do. And they have a right for their, you know, for their opinion as well. And I think that by sitting down with them or reading their, you know, their comments or what have you, I think we grow as a city. And it feels like it's more inclusive. It feels like everybody's included in the decision.
Okay, thank you.
I have a kind of a simple question.
Okay.
What excites you the most about being a council member? Like, what really draws you to the position? What makes you kind of like, this is something that I want to do? What about this job appeals to you?
You know, to be quite honest, the job doesn't appeal to me. The city appeals to me. So, love the city.
Would somebody ask that question on the 219th? Same question.
Yeah. Okay. We're going to find it now. Thank you, Bambi. It's showing up. Are you familiar with the 219th?
Oh, here.
Third time around. Here we go. Bambi, are you familiar with the 219th extension and the challenges that it possesses for the community?
I'm not familiar with that.
Okay.
To be quite honest, I don't know what that is. But again, you know, if it affects the community, then I'd be interested in.
Thank you for being honest.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Bambi, I don't know all the roads to around here because I've only lived here 6 years. But it's the second way into Ridgefield. You know, so they want to put that exit in over there by Battleground and then cut across by Rolling Hills.
Right.
If that,
I don't know anything about the expansion of it. I don't know anything about that project, so I apologize.
Mm-hmm. No problem.
That was not part of my research, apparently.
Yeah.
You will tomorrow.
Where are we at?
So we have approximately 5 minutes left in the time frame. But again, if you have your questions answered on that, then we can take 5 minutes in between the interviews.
Okay, sounds good. Bambi, thank you so much.
All right, thank you so much. Yeah, I appreciate the opportunity.
You hey, you bet.
And Mayor and Council, Ms. Ferris will go get the next applicant and let them know that we have a few minutes.
Question. I got a comment. Rather than bringing the applicants in and put them in the hot seat for 2 minutes or 3 minutes to sit there, why don't we bring them in prior to them having to speak? I know I would wilt just standing in front of the podium.
So the reason we're not doing that is we're trying to make sure that the applicants don't hear the questions that you are asking of the other applicants ahead of time. Thus, we're waiting till one applicant is done before bringing the other applicant in.
But I was saying bringing the next applicant in and just standing there for 5 minutes till we get to the time to start, it's...
In this circumstance, it makes sense because you have 5 minutes, but we were not anticipating you would have 5 minutes in between the interviews. So okay. We can certainly give a few minutes to kind of just hang out before things get started. But again, the purpose of it is to ensure that each applicant has an equal opportunity to not hear, to hear the questions for the first time.
Right. Okay.
So, but when they come in the room, you don't have to start exactly at that time, you can start a few minutes and have them hang out for a little bit if that's what you're looking for.
No, what I was looking for is they are hanging out and sweating for the 2 or 3 minutes before they ever start speaking. That was my concern.
You are very kind. I would say that these are applicants for a council position and they will be in much more difficult circumstances.
Like
your briefings. Exactly.
Get in trouble.
Or us bullying you into pushing the button on the microphone.
Dang.
Thank you.
I think it was like a 45-minute hearing process. I think it was. I felt like it was so long. Maybe it's just my memory, like playing tricks on me. But I felt like I was just sitting there, like forever.
Good question.
You like that?
I do.
Okay. Thought about it. And I thought. I did. The client sent her back, what the heck is her question?
Exactly.
In a battle between Superman and Batman,
okay.
Who do you
ready,
think
Mr.
can
Mayor.
Win and why?
Nice.
Okay, we are ready to go. Mr. Clyde Burkle is here. Candidate Clyde Burkle is with us this evening. Clyde, welcome.
Thank you.
And Councilmember Akeley, we're going to start with you.
Good evening, Mr. Burkle. Thank you for applying. If selected to serve on council, which two community organizations interest you most to get active with and participate with their organization?
I would like to be involved with, number one, the port, and number two, the school board, school district.
What interests you the most on the port? Kind of a two-part question.
I'm very, very interested in how the waterfront is developed. I've tried to do some research on what is proposed, and I can find little or nothing at the moment. And I think that piece of property is the jewel of Ridgefield with what potentially could be done there.
Thank you very much, Clyde.
Councilor Lindsay?
Thank you. Hi, Clyde. Thank you so much for being here with us tonight.
Thank you.
One of the challenges of being an elected official is effectively representing the variety of people that make up your constituency. Based on the most recent U.S. Census data from 2019, so I'm going to give you some data, so if you want me to repeat any of it, just let me know. The median age of our residents is 35 years old. About a third of our population is under 17 years old. 42% of our population is between the ages of 25 and 54. And additionally, in the last 5 years, our population has nearly doubled, which means that about 50% of our residents have lived here for 5 years or less. Based on the recent data of Ridgefield's population, how would you connect with and represent all of the various demographics that make up our community?
Well, I live in a neighborhood in which I am the oldest person. And the joy of living in that neighborhood is being to interact with very young families, middle-aged, families with many small children, teenage children, and college children. I think it's the responsibility of council members to make sure that we do our very, very best if I were to be appointed, to interact with every age group, every group of individuals that we have living in our city.
Thank you.
Councilor Onslow.
Thanks, Clyde, for coming and applying. One of the things you said in your resume said working together helps everyone involved by increasing the amount of information with which to make decisions. Mine's kind of not a question on necessarily the city, but when a problem is created or an issue comes to light, what is your process to mentally or physically get into that problem and solve it?
Well, I think as a council member, it's the responsibility of each council member to be alert and aware to what is or is not going on in the community. If there is an issue, then I think it's the responsibility of the council to step up, address the issue, find the facts, and make intelligent decisions based on the information that you've been able to gather.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Mayor Pro Tem Wells.
Mr. Burkle, thank you. So it was on.
Good deal.
It's an ongoing thing, Clyde.
Thank you.
Thank you for stepping up to the plate. The question I have for you is, what do you feel is the biggest challenge that faces the community today?
In my opinion, our biggest challenge is growing responsibly. And what do I mean by that? I think it's important that we keep the development within the goals of the city. By that I mean
we insist that the developers create a quality community, and when the developer leaves the community, that piece of property that they develop is of value to Ridgefield. The other issue I see and think is remarkably important is the attraction of businesses. I would love to see somewhere in Ridgefield a business doing $60 to $100 million a year in volume. As a result of that volume, we would see a significant tax flow in sales tax into the city. It would create potentially remarkable jobs. It would make Ridgefield an even more desirable place to be than it is now, because we would have potentially great jobs and wonderful communities as we do at the moment.
Thank you.
Good. Thank you very much. Clyde, I have a question that came from a local citizen that I'm going to ask you. Being a Ridgefield City Council member will require the member to spend more than 2 hours every other week. How much time do you expect to spend weekly preparing and executing your responsibilities as a council member?
Well, being retired, I have a significant amount of time to which I can develop and dedicate to being a council member. I realize, having attended many council meetings, that you simply do not show up an hour before your meeting and think you can be productive and think you can make intelligent decisions regarding what you're going to be talking about. As a result, it would be my opinion, and my opinion only, that as a council member, you devote weekly however many hours it takes to be a responsible council member.
Great. Thank you.
And I can do that being retired.
Great. Thank you. And I know we still have a lot of time. As long as I have the mic on, you've already told us what the biggest issue you feel is in Ridgefield right now. What's the second biggest issue that Ridgefield is facing right now?
Well,
in your mind?
To repeat myself, I think our second largest issue, in my opinion, is attracting businesses that create jobs, businesses that create revenue. I realize residential developments create revenue one time when they apply for the permitting that's necessary. Yes, there is some revenue flow from taxes, but if we were able to attract large employers, and I'm, as I said earlier, I'm thinking $60, $70, $100 million stores, $100 million operations, and maybe I'm overthinking it, but I think if you don't overthink it, you'll never achieve that level. So I think we need to go out and do what we've done. Look at how Rose Hours showed up. Look what Rose Hours has done to our community. If we could bring in another large retailer again, wow, the potential is unlimited. But new businesses, new industry, jobs, revenue into the city.
Great. Thank you very much.
Clyde, in reading your resume, you've lived here 17 years, and there's quite a long list of stuff you've been involved in, community organizations, the Salary Commission, and Civil Service Commission, and the list is quite long. What drives you inside to be so active in all of these things year after year?
Well, I have found living in Ridgefield to be one of the most special places I've ever lived in my life, and I've lived in a lot of places. And I realized early on that stepping up and becoming a part of this community, not just as a citizen, not just driving in and out every day, but being intimately involved, finding out what makes things work, hoping to maybe make suggestions that make things work better. Example, having been invited to be involved with the salary commission was enjoyable. Working on the budget review board, I loved that position because we worked to make sure that the city had a budget that worked. We had a budget that created
more income than what went out, which is unusual in today's environment. And being involved with the city makes it more important for me to live here and more enjoyable. I love every minute that I can be of some help to the city.
Thank you.
Clyde, the next question that I have for you is, are you familiar with the 219th extension and the challenges it possesses?
Indeed I am, and I might give you a little brief history. For me, I moved here in April of 2004. There were 3,000 people living in Ridgefield. We had two ways in and out of town. 17 years later, I live here, and I think we have 11,700 residents, possibly. And guess what? We have two ways in and out of town. I think that ability to get in and out of town on that 219th is eminently important to the well-being and the future success of our city. Absolutely.
Thank you.
I have a question. So can you elaborate on some of, part of being on council is doing a lot of great things for the city, but we also have limitations on the things that we can do. Are you familiar with what kind of like we can and can't do? Like,
no, I'm not. I'm kind of the person that does things and then begs for forgiveness.
Fair enough.
Well, we all learn from the hard school of Knox.
Don stole my question, so I had to come up with one on the fly.
All right. Council, anyone else have any questions? All right. All right. Good. We're done. Thank you. Thank you, Clyde.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Clyde.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. We now have approximately 9 minutes between now and our next interview, and Mrs. Ferris will let them know they have 9 minutes and they can wander around or come in the room or whatever they want to put themselves at ease for these 9 minutes.
So do we have time to come out of the room really fast?
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yep.
I can't believe we went through that one that fast. But he had his answers.
All three of these are cruising, which is excellent.
Everyone's prepared. Everybody's been very well.
As we said over here, better to have more time than run out of time.
Right.
Rob and I were saying, I think you grilled us longer when we were up for appointment, because I swear I sat there for 45 minutes.
Lee and I totally have the same memory of that, but you guys were up for a much longer period of time.
And they were really substantive questions. Oh, yeah. They were like quick. It was like, based on the water supply issue,
what did she say the question was?
You won't believe it, but
something about water supply.
Oh,
yeah.
No, I mean when I was appointed.
Oh, when you were appointed, got it. Well, and the other thing I think we did do for the last applicants, I think we did do introduction. Like, we gave them the mic to say hello.
Oh.
I'm pretty sure, as a matter of fact. Yeah. So that takes like 3 to 5 minutes right there, just with like, kind of an open seat.
Yeah. So I think we give them, like, some of the questions are
a lot of the questions that we did last time in the rec, because a lot of the questions we did last time in the interviews were in the application packet this time. So we got a lot more information up front from all of them. We still have at least 5 minutes, so relax, we got a little time.
Okay.
Relax. Famous last words.
Yeah. Rachel bring us three samples of Pepsi?
Till well, till 6:25, something like that. 6:25. No, we'll be in there for. We're gonna have dinner in there. Yeah.
Do you have a, are you listing a player?
Uh-huh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
How's that going?
It's good. He came late. He's from Pleasanton, east of San Francisco, on
okay.
the other side of the bay, and he goes to school at Rutgers.
Thank you.
Council, we have candidate Rachel Coker with us here this evening. Rachel, thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for applying. And we will start with Mayor Pro Tem Wells this evening on this one.
Thank you for, I remember to put my speaker the fourth time. Thank you for applying and putting the effort into that. I know it takes a lot. And thank you for serving on the Planning Commission.
Park.
Okay.
Thank you.
The question I have for you, in your eyes, what do you feel is the biggest challenge that faces the community today?
That's a great question. Thank you. I think the biggest challenge that the community in City of Ridgefield faces is honestly the fine line balancing preserving Ridgefield's strong heritage, culture, community, and past with being progressive and moving into the future as development comes very quickly. You know, we all know how fast Ridgefield is growing, and there's a lot of diverse opinions about what should and shouldn't happen, and I think being able to balance and manage those opinions is probably the biggest challenge right now.
Okay.
Thank you. Councilor Onslow.
Thanks, Rachel, especially for your work on the Parks Board.
Thank you.
You know, one of the things you said was how to responsibly and sustainably grow at a quick pace while honoring the different values without being restrained by them. My question is really basically not on our problems, but when you have a problem in front of you or issue in front of you, what's your process to get to the heart of that issue and solve it?
Sure, thanks. Well, first and foremost, I think it's important to gather all of the facts. And honestly, the opinions, you know, especially if we're talking about any kind of joint venture problem, challenge, whatever that may be, above and beyond the facts, everybody who's working on that has their own personal view and how they want to handle it. So in my experience, it's best to let everybody share all that, get everything out on the table so that you can clearly and accurately assess all of the pieces before you take any sort of action. From there, you can start to build a good roadmap with the pieces that you have available. And I think it's also important to stay flexible and be able to stop if needed and reassess or make a new plan. But you know, to be able to take action once you have that information in front of you. So whether it's something large or small, I tend to follow that same framework in both my career and personal life. It hasn't steered me wrong yet.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're welcome.
Councilor Lindsay.
Thank you.
Rachel, thank you so much for being here with us tonight. I really appreciate you taking the time. One of the challenges of being an elected official is effectively representing the variety of people that make up your constituency. Based on the most recent U.S. Census data from 2019, and I'm going to give you some facts, so if you want me to repeat them, just let me know. The median age of our residents is 35 years old. About a third of our population is under 17. 42% of our population is between the ages of 25 and 54. Additionally, in the last 5 years, our population has nearly doubled, which means that about 50% of our residents have lived here for 5 years or less. Based on the recent data of Ridgefield's population, how would you connect with and represent all of the various demographics that make up our community?
Thank you. It's another great question, which I feel that I'm uniquely able to handle and answer. I make up a lot of that demographic that you spoke about. I am newer to the community. I am right about in that age range. I have a child who's right under the age of 17. So I couldn't help but smile when you asked that question because I personally identify with a lot of that. And I feel like that opens the door for me to be able to connect with that portion of our community. So, you know, being able to communicate and connect with the other portions of the community that you didn't list, I feel that puts me in a position to bridge that gap and to be able to stand up and represent the city and the council and the community and say, hey, that's me too. I truly understand where you are coming from as a population because I am part of that population.
Yeah. Councilor Akeley.
Thanks for applying, Rachel, and all your work on the Parks Board. Besides the Parks Board, what community organization interests you and that you'd want to be active in?
great question. Thank you. Actually, a couple. I've gone down the road of getting spread too thin, which I know is easy to do in a small community. I had started going down the road of the Lions Club, which is a natural fit for, you know, any active member of the community. But above and beyond that, lately I've taken an interest in gardening, and I've really thought about getting in touch with the gardening club. I feel like that kind of ties hobbies and personal interests and relationships and community to the work that I do on the Parks Board, and just kind of provides a different view and angle. I've not yet approached that team or that club, but it's been something that's on my mind. And every day I'm impressed with what other organizations exist within the community, but those would be my first two next steps, would be the Lions Club and the Gardening Club.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thanks.
Rachel, thank you so much for taking the time to spend with us. And again, thank you for your work on the Parks Board.
Welcome. Thank you, Mayor. My
question came from a citizen.
Okay.
Being a Richfield City Council member will require the member to spend more than 2 hours every other week. How much time do you expect to spend weekly preparing and executing your responsibilities as a council member?
That's a great question that I think is difficult to quantify. Fully prepared to spend whatever time is necessary. A few years ago, I took a big step sideways in my career. I was in a very demanding, time-wise and high-profile career, and consumed the majority of my time, so I had no time to myself and my family. So I opted to take a different path, and that brought me to Richfield, and I find myself now with a lot of time. So it's been two extremes, and you know, as I've been pondering the prospect of taking more active part in the community, I have time available in the evenings and the weekends, and it coincides very much with my own personal interest in, you know, on top of the news or what's going on in the community. A lot of the events that I would take part in anyway on my own, whether I was or was not a part of the city council, already falls in line with some of that. So whether it is preparing for a study session, or maybe it's a time of year where there's a lot of additional activity, maybe it's development activity, I understand and I'm absolutely prepared to spend that extra time, whether it be a full weekend or, you know, maybe there's weeks where there's not a lot going on and not much required outside of just preparing for the next meeting. But I understand and I'm able to do both of those things.
Great. Super. Another question?
Me.
Okay. Oh.
I got appointed. Thank you for your time on the Parks Board.
You're welcome.
I guess it's here. Are you familiar with the 219th Street extension and the challenges it possesses for the community, the council?
You caught me off guard on that one. Perhaps with a refresher, I would be more familiar, but when you say that, I'm not very familiar with it.
Okay, good, thank you. Great.
Do we want to give her a refresher on what that is? Or it's the South I-5 access by the Battleground exit.
Okay, thank you. Mm-hmm. Yes, and I took part in the Ridgefield Roundtable survey on that as well. I'm not familiar with all of the different pieces of information, but I am familiar with the proposed project itself.
Okay.
Got one, Ron?
Councilor Onslow.
How long have you been on the Parks Board?
2 years today, actually.
Say what?
2 years today.
Okay, thank you. No, I don't have anything right now.
Okay.
What do you believe is the second biggest challenge Ridgefield has?
Ooh, boy.
Or just, you know, some challenges. I know there was a question, why do you think the first challenge is, but there's others.
No, I appreciate that. I may be biased with my work on the Parks Board, but the next biggest challenge that comes to mind is pedestrian safety throughout the community. Right now we're kind of fragmented and segmented. We've got the downtown area, the east of I-5 area, and it's difficult in places for safe passage, whether you're walking, biking, or whatnot, or even being the motorist, worrying about pedestrians. And as we grow, that's only going to become more prominent of an issue. So that, in my view, would be the next biggest challenge.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So what excites you or really draws you to, drew you to wanting to apply for city council? Such a simple question.
Oh, it's a great question, though. Honestly, it's because it's something different than I've ever really pursued. I guess in many regards, you could say that my work on the Parks Board is similar. It's a, you know, part of city government, but it's not the same. And my whole history has been in corporate America and things of that nature, very private, but also very community facing. So the skills that I have that come from those other portions of my life apply very greatly, which draws me to it because I, you know, like to be spoken and be able to use those skills. But the fact that I could learn something new and contribute in a meaningful way, I know that I have a lot more to offer the community, my fellow neighbors, citizens, kind of, you know, going back to the junior high and your civic duty and really wanting to do your part. I think it's easy to hear people voice their opinions about what should or shouldn't be done, and it's a very different thing to be able to step up and take action on those things. So the appeal of something new and different, building that skill set, as well as being able to truly participate in the community that I live in.
Thank you. Other questions, Council?
One of the things that I did underline on your report or your resume is your understanding of the role of city of government, so on, so on, is also responsible for managing public budget and maintaining infrastructure and other operations. I didn't know what you meant by other operations.
Fair. And I probably left that a little bit vague on purpose to fill the void of things maybe I'm not aware that city council might end up getting involved with. The way that I understand city council and our city structure is that we are also growing and potentially needing to change. So in a way, I intended to leave that towards perhaps future roles and responsibilities or things that we may need to take on or how that will shift. So I apologize for the lack of clarity in that.
Okay, thank you.
Right. Sure.
Great. Council, any other questions? Okay, all right, we're good. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Council.
Yeah. Oh, thank you, Rachel.
Thanks very much.
So, Rachel, if you want to just stay here, the other three applicants are going to come in, and then we'll go through kind of what are the next steps in this. Mayor, Council, we have 8 minutes before we are scheduled to be in executive session. We'll get the other three applicants, the finalists, in here, and we'll go through the next step of this being the executive session. But I'll go through the details of that when everybody's here.
Okay. Okay, Council, we are back. The four candidates are back in the room. And Mr. Stewart, could you please explain the next part of this process?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Thank you, Mayor and Council. And thank you to all of the finalists for participating in this process. The next piece of this process is for Council to remove themselves to executive session pursuant to RCW 4230.110.1G. That will begin at 6 p.m. We are scheduled to come out of executive session at 6:30, and we would ask that you, when we go to executive session, state that for the record so we have that time set. If you want to say we're coming back at 6:25, give yourselves a few minutes before 6:30, up to you. As far as that, The purpose of this executive session is only to discuss qualifications associated with the applicants. State law requires that deliberation and action associated with the appointment of new council members be conducted in public. That means that that will occur after you come back into an open public session when our regular meeting begins at 6:30. Individual qualifications may include any of the following that are relevant to the council position: education, employment and volunteer experience, knowledge such as current city issues, role of council members, etc. Skill and abilities such as communication, collaboration, ability to represent the interests of the community, decision making, critical thinking, ability to learn. Personal qualities such as positive attitude or demonstrated interest in the Ridgefield community. Whether that person fills a need on the council, whether it's knowledge, interest, any other area that you see as a need for council, or the ability to fulfill the requirements of the position, such as attending meetings on a regular basis. This is not, in the executive session, is not the opportunity to discuss the relative merits of candidates comparing one with the other. Again, that is part of the deliberation process that will occur in public. This is to discuss each individual applicant's qualifications as you would do in an interview process for employment. So any questions that you have, Council Mayor, on this portion of the process?
Council questions? Okay.
Okay, and for the applicants, we would let you know that we would be coming back in. We have open public meeting at 6:30 p.m. is when the regular meeting begins. And that is absolutely, the deliberation and selection process is public. It will be from the dais. You are absolutely welcome to attend. I know Raptors game starts at 6:30. So if you want to go to that, if you want to take me to that, that'd be cool. But if you want to be here, I respect that as well. So we will be starting that at 6:30. And you're obviously all able and welcome to attend that piece of this. So with that, Mayor, I would turn it back over to you and Council to take us out into executive session.
Great. Thank you very much. At this point, the Ridgefield City Council will remove ourselves, going to executive session, and we will return around 6:25. Thank you very much.